final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Why?
Hello, everybody. It's old Shaziz out here in what's left of my old mad science laboratory. I'm working on moving all this stuff over into the larger space. And so with that said, you never realize how much junk you have until you have to move it. You guys ever have that problem?
Oh, yeah, buddy. I got a crate heading back here from the U.S. It's sitting out of customs at the moment. I remember packing that sucker, mate, and that was no fun at all.
Man, I'll tell you what. I like got like a quarter way through this junk, and I already had a lot of my space filled up on the other side. I was like, what in the heck's going on here? And I'm still digging more stuff out.
Yeah. You're going to have a bit of fun with that, I think.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a whole lot more than it is, because a lot of it's along the ground, alongside the wall and all that kind of stuff.
Yep,
so once I get it up off the floor, then it'd probably look a lot better in there. I know I got definitely more space. But, you know, like I said, you never know how much junk you have until you decide to move it.
It's so true, isn't it?
Hey, but I am finding things.
It gives you a chance to feel like Christmas again, because when you're digging through to move all that stuff, you discover stuff you forgot you even had.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. I have been finding things. Hey, man, I've been looking for that for a year. You know? And now I'll put it somewhere where I won't forget it, and guess what'll happen?
You'll forget.
You'll forget it. Yeah.
Today I bought myself a bit of junk from a garage sale, a yard sale, and it was a metal box. So I used that. I've slipped one of my soft padded camera bags inside of it. Fits perfectly. All right, so basically it's now a hard case for some of my camera equipment. Inside the bottom of the bag for my camera, I took everything out to get it inside this box. I found the keys to the generator, which is sitting in the crate down at customs.
Oh, wow.
I totally misplaced them. I had no idea where they were. And without them, obviously, you know, there's an $800 generator that's worth nothing.
Man.
So for the secret, and this is, actually, I've fenced to work almost 85% of my time, right? Like eight, nine times out of 10, it works. Stop working on whatever it is you can't find the part for. Start working on something else. You will find something in the new project you can't find, and when you go to look for that, you almost always find the thing that you were looking for one or two projects behind that you couldn't find. And you'll find it much faster while you're looking for the other thing, man. And I mean, it's just like your subconscious is working it out for you while you're basically working toward looking on the other item, and it'll direct you to wherever the old item was before you get to the new item.
Well, I started putting things in project boxes. For every separate project, I'd have a separate box. Of course, now that got kind of cluttered up, because
now
I had boxes laying everywhere, and I couldn't remember which project I was working on whenever I had whatever tool it was I was looking for.
Do you have walls for that you can hang tools from now?
Oh, yeah. I just got to get out there, and I'm going to do the whole little trace around and screw it to the wall kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Bust out the Sharpie and trace around each tool so you know exactly where it goes. No thinking. Just pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
Use it, then put it back. Use it, then put it back. Use it, then put it back.
That way, whenever the kid uses my wrench and it's missing, I'll see it right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a kid like that. He likes to borrow tools, and then he can't find them. Where's my tool, boy? It's out in my truck.
Another trick that you can use, if you know how to work with leather at all, just to put like snaps on things, you can literally screw the base of the snap to a wall. So you can make a leather strap with the little snap-on deals, and then screw the little thing that it snaps down over onto the wall too. That way you can firmly mount things on the wall and do hanging walls that you just flip out and then flip back against the wall, so you can store more stuff up there.
What if I do like the bank does and put retractable cords on all my tools? That way, like, whenever you let go of it, it sucks it back to the wall.
I cannot see an occupational health and safety issue there. One thing. Go for it.
Yeah.
Just wait till the camera's rolling, bro.
God, that's like saying, "Oh, I don't see any problem at all happening from, you know, re-engineering that ant zombie fungus to make an insecticide of it." Nah, that'll work fine.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, Cultus, throw that link that you put in there on the Shaziz radio chat room into the Awake radio chat room?
I most certainly can.
Cool.
As per okay. normal, running around like a headless chook doing 50 things at once when I should just be doing one, being on the radio. But hey, someone's got to keep up the banter outside of the radio at the same time. You know?
Well, if folks haven't seen this video, it's pretty cool. Aussie50, if you haven't subscribed to him, he does a lot of pretty cool videos. But he's got a Jacob's ladder that he made, and he made it with a washing machine motor, the same motors that I keep talking about that I want to get 10 of these things. So if you go watch this video and you see the arcs that's coming off of this thing, man, on this Jacob's ladder. And for those of you who ain't familiar with a Jacob's ladder is, essentially it's two wires in a V shape, and whenever you energize it, you'll see the arc climbing up to the top of the wire, you know, and it's pretty neat to watch. So if you haven't checked that out, that's a good video to see to get an idea what a Jacob's ladder is. Now he's running his with a looks like a lawnmower engine or something, and boy, he's pulling some serious arcs off of that thing. And I've been impressed with these stator motors for quite some time. Been trying to get a hold of some. They're out there on eBay. I ain't seen them cheaper than maybe one time I missed a set for like $30 or $40, but normally they're going in $60 and up range. So I think I'm going to have to wait till I find them in the junkyard to pick them up. So
yeah, them smart drive or IntelliDrives, depending on where you come from, but yeah, they're an exceptional little magnet motor or generator when we're done with them.
Oh yeah, they're actually three phase, but you can wire them into a single phase if you like.
Yeah, and those suckers have got more output on them than I've seen some boys stacking mods. So.
Oh yeah, could you imagine?
And the frequency, have you heard one of those things squeal when they arc them?
Whoa. Could you imagine 10 of those on a horizontal shaft running a Tesla coil?
Now I think you're crazy. Remember when you asked me today if I thought you were crazy?
Yeah.
Now it's settled. Now it's I think you're crazy.
I want like a 30-foot Tesla coil out there in the yard with a huge capacitor bank and 10 of those stator motors out of them direct drive washing machines to be the power source on that thing. And yep. I want a remote switch that I can, you know, stretch a wire out like, let's say, you know, 7.5 miles and then flip that switch and run. What do you think?
Yep.
Man, when you mentioned Jacob's ladder, I can't hear anybody. I can't hear anybody talk about a Jacob's ladder without hearing that scene from Ed Wood, where Bela Lugosi goes, "I'm not going near that damn thing. Burn me in the Isle of Sandu."
Hey, I'd love to get a clip of that. That'd be cool to play on the Mad Science Show.
I was looking for one. I can't find one specifically, so I may have to just tear apart one of the movie and find it for you. I don't know who played the part, but he did a fantastic job playing Bela Lugosi in that. You know the movie with Johnny Depp playing Ed Wood.
I also want from Young Frankenstein with Gene Wilder in there, there's a scene where he's like, "Throw the first switch," and he throws the first switch. He says, "Throw the second switch," and he throws the second switch, and he says, "Throw the third switch," and Igor says, "Not the third switch," and he says, "Throw it." That's me and Coltus out there with that doggone breakout video we were doing. Throw the second switch.
You're still a chicken.
Oh yeah, I got behind the crate.
He was so standing behind me, waiting for me to cop a lightning bolt to the face. Which, you know, I mean, it's fair enough. I was the one constructing the Tesla coil. I was the one being all sure of myself and knowing what I was doing, which of course I did. But
hey,
it could have looked a bit iffy for someone who didn't quite trust me.
The last time I fired that thing up, I started a fire with that thing. So.
See, now that we took that extra loop out of the center there, you're perfect.
Yeah,
you're gonna have that great big arc out there.
So I figured if I started a fire the way I hooked it up, then you're gonna throw some really heavy arcs off of there that's gonna might be worse. So I put you out there as the sacrificial mad science guy.
I was stacking NSTs and all into one. I think it was about a 0.1 farad capacitor.
Yeah, that thing was ruthless, man.
What did we have? We had about 90 milliamp and about...
The first time he fired that thing up, I mean, it was crackle, 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 and I'm like, oh my God, and I run behind the crates.
He did behind crates.
Hey.
And I had an earthing rod set up, no word of a lie, like 2 foot away from the top load, so that, you know, we were safe within our own confines, you know. He still ran away like a girl.
Yeah, well, at least I wasn't screaming when I was running away.
I could tell people you would.
Yeah, well, you could. But it was caution, man. It was flat out caution, because I started to fire the first time I fired that one up.
You seen how tall and lanky he is? Just imagine him running around with his arms flailing above his head, going, "Ah!"
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, imagine about 10 of them direct drives on a horizontal shaft with maybe a 30-horse Briggs & Stratton on that thing, man. Just spinning it away real good, firing up that coil. Everybody went dead. We're talking about the biggest bug zapper in the history of bug zappers, and everybody goes quiet on me.
No, I was just sort of comprehending the amount of energy that would come out of that. You know how, like, there's that big paddock out the back?
Yeah.
Like from the back of your shed across to your neighbor's property, like,
oh,
where
yeah.
the greenhouse is, right? You want to set it up sort of in between there.
Yeah, and okay. People over in Greece would smell the ozone from that.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to have a nice dose of ozone here in South Australia, all the way from Missouri, America.
Everybody be like, what's that smell?
I'll be like, that ain't no petrified, baby. That's ozone.
Hey, there's the deal, man. You're always hollering about there's a hole in the ozone layer. We could fix that, man. That ain't no problem.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? That's exactly what the, you know, what the ozone is made of. I don't know, ozone?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't buy the whole hole in the ozone layer anyway, because I got common sense for one, and I actually paid attention in science class, but, you know, what, to each his own. You know, lightning going off all the way around the earth. In some places, I can't remember where exactly the country is, but they have lightning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How'd you like to live there, man? Google it up, man. You'll find out which town that is. But
where are we going?
I watched a documentary on lightning one time on the Discovery Channel, and they was talking about this one particular country that they have lightning all year round.
Really?
Because of the area where they're at. I don't know what it had to do with, but I'm talking about, you know, all the way while they're showing this video, they're showing lightning, you know, all day long, you know, and people just got accustomed to it. But
You should tell people about my little dance when we were working on that testicle.
Oh, whenever I told you, so you better not get too close to that thing, and you're like, oh, I got this, and he's holding a bulb out there, big old long fluorescent bulb, and that arc, like, went right on down to, and he's over there doing the jiggy going on. Ah, so got you, didn't it?
That's where you guys got the idea for the Harlem Shake video.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah.
Because I'm standing there, I've got like this big, long, 4-foot fluoro, right, and I'm holding it at least a foot in from the end, okay? Now, I already knew that the way that we had it set up, it was a little bit low frequency, but I figured it's okay, you know, the fluoro tube will act like a resistor. I'll be okay. I've got my good electrical standard safety boots on. Everything's going to be fine. So here I am, we got this thing fired up, and I'm like dancing with the thing, you know, sticking the fluoro tube near the arc and getting it lit up and whatnot. And then and she's just standing there going, don't do it, man. And it's like egging me on, telling me not to do it, you know. So I'm like, really? Really? I'm just getting closer, you know. And eventually I made it past our earth rod by about half a foot. And it's gone, bang, straight into the coil, and I've literally seen out the corner of my right eye. Alright, jumped straight out of the tip of my steel cap boot from my little toe, straight into the ground, and then I've just stood there like I was dancing. because, you know, we're recording all this. It's just like, woo! Yeah, I meant that. It's okay.
Yeah, he's looking at me with a crooked eye saying, I'm all right. It's all okay.
Stop being God from the Tesla call, man.
Oh, man.
But anyway. We know some electrons there for the week, hey?
Oh, yeah.
I think you are. I was charged up for a month.
Yeah, no coffee no coffee needed zone. That's where that was.
No. That's when you close your eyes and you can actually see, like, you know, electrons still whizzing by. So little white flashes.
I touched a Tesla coil.
So you close your eyes to keep from seeing the future?
Hey, what was going through his mind was, I touched a Tesla coil and I saw God.
Just about. Certainly out of my little toe.
Man.
I literally felt it leave my little toe and you know, of course the steel cap's a bit darker, so it's just gone straight through the steel cap into the ground from there. It was amazing.
See, those who have seen and know from visual cue what you're talking about are all thinking, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, ain't no joke.
The rest of them who have actually experienced it are like, oh, when's my charge?
Hey, you know what would be funny? That dubstep video that we're talking about where everybody's getting shocked in it, throw that phrase in there, ain't got no time for that in between each one.
Oh, sweet Jesus, it's a lightning bolt. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's funny, man. Yeah, anyway, we had some other things on the agenda to talk about as well. Static motors, Corona motors, and all that kind of stuff. And something else was in there, too. But I want to get, like I said, I want to get 10 of those stator motors so that I can build me a really super high-powered, high-voltage machine. Anyway, Cultus, can you remember what else we had in line for the deal besides the static motors?
I knew I should have written it all down.
Ah, see?
We were actually, no, and it's good that Thomas is here because you wanted to talk more about the swag, the saltwater...
Swag generator?
Yeah.
Saltwater and graphene.
Graphene. Okay, yep. That's right.
Yeah, that's what the
A is
for.
I was lost on the A. I was thinking,
I know,
yeah,
me too.
I'm thinking...
Well, I was thinking it was, you know, the first two letters of water. Salt and water and generator, but it's not. It's saltwater and graphene generator.
You
so you're not saying generator if you say swag generator.
Okay, swag generator.
The G doesn't stand for generator, so
okay,
that's, we're all good on that.
Well,
that's
I'll tell
like, you know, I thought it was like ramen noodles. Ramen noodles is basically like saying in Japanese, noodles. Yeah.
Well, actually, the Japanese have a noodle called yakisoba. If you haven't tried it, they actually sell it in stores now. But it's like ramen noodles, but tastes a whole lot better.
I know some guys who believe life's like that.
Anyway, on that graphene stuff, that paintable stuff that Robert Murray Smith is working on, that last video that I saw where he was, he coated a couple pieces of plastic, and then he had one of them connected to a pipe that ran down into the ground or whatever, and he was getting some really good voltage off of that thing, man. I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, man... You know, he's on to something with that stuff. I'd like to get a hold of some of that ink that he used or the paint, whatever it is, and run some experiments of myself.
Yeah, same here. I'm looking at what they're doing. I think there's some workarounds we could use to maybe even get better results, too, and, you know, just basically link him back on our research because he'll be more than happy to see us using his research to leapfrog and get, you know, that's why he does all those videos, get people thinking and get them doing stuff, you know?
Well, I'm thinking
if you're asking questions, he'll be like, well, if I don't know, you know, try it, find out, let me know what you get, you know, show me.
I'm thinking the earth rod, the copper-coated ground rod, 8 foot, and the galvanized ground rod, 8 foot, with a couple of... maybe plates or fins on that thing right there on each one of those to pick up some little bit of extra energy would probably boost that power coming up out of there. Because I get
I think we're going the wrong way entirely with that, man. Really, if you look the all carbon battery that he has on there, that all carbon generator, it doesn't need any ground rods, it doesn't need any air rods or anything like that, and it's generating half a volt of power off of two sheets of paper. He just used two dissimilar types of carbon and salt water in the paper. That's it. There's nothing that can break down. Salt and water at that stage are at the lowest energy state they can get to, so they can't. You have to add energy to them to break them down. So they're not decomposing. There's nothing decomposing in that to generate that power.
Well, it seems to me that would be the best go for a battery because it would last for forever.
Well, at a half a volt though, for two thin sheets of Xerox paper with just a thin layer of, you know, and I'm sure the thickness of the layer doesn't matter. You could get it all the way down to one layer of atoms and it would work, because it's probably just the top layer of atoms that are doing the work. The rest are just wasted. So the thinness could, you know, be refined even further by just thinning down the paint before you put it on there, because he's just basically painting the two on there, right? He's using the graphene paint that he makes, which is an exfoliation process, I believe, still, where he's buying vein graphite, which is basically graphite that it was deep in the ground, it was molten and, you know, compressed until it just basically formed a solid block of graphite and a charcoal brick. He just took a regular standard charcoal brick you buy in a bag for barbecuing with, and ground it up and mixed it into the same slurry that he makes his paint with, and then painted that one on one sheet, the other on the other, and it hooked up an electrode to one and hooked up an electrode to the other and laid them off against each other after soaking the paper in salt water, and boom, you know, power.
Wow.
So there is no need for anything else at that point power-wise for, you know, what we power today. Like I said before, the high-voltage stuff and the Tesla coil stuff that we're working on, we're going to need that, I can almost guarantee you, for warp drive technology, because the warp drive generators that they're building at NASA, they all require a very, very high voltage, extremely high voltage.
Well, I have...
But in the house, you don't even need that.
I have the perfect machine, man, for the high voltage. I'm telling you, that static motor, the Corona motor, the Wimshurst, the Van de Graaff, all that added in together with my plasma technology, I'm telling you what, you'll have the most powerful electric generator in the history of time. It'll be ludicrous how much electricity come out of that thing.
Well, and the question would be, they have this, he's made this stuff, I know it comes from somewhere else, the information, but he presented it on YouTube for the rest of the world to get access to it, as well as a simple way to get it, is the copper nanoparticles. They're basically, you know, a salt crystal of copper, like copper sulfate, that they're hitting with another substance that basically breaks it out of the substance to make nanoparticles. If we can do that with tantalum is the best material for making positive and negative plate capacitors. So this, you know, if you can make tantalum into a paintable substance and then just flash it with a really bright light to fuse it together, we're on fire at that point. You can make any configuration or shape of plates you want, you know.
I'm working on a device right now by which you could actually determine the exact moment that there is an exchange between electrons in the copper atom. So I will be able to find out exactly at what frequency range that copper atom begins to move. And so when I get this thing together, it would literally redefine how you used electricity. If you could get your exchange of the electron at a certain frequency that wouldn't take as much voltage to actually get that going to begin with, you know, like a radio tuner, there's thousands and thousands, millions of frequencies out there.
Like I said before, the NIST, the National Institute of Science and Technologies, has all the frequencies that all these atoms, including copper, respond to, and how the three different states of response to photons, and photons are all broken down into frequencies. You can convert that over to radio frequencies and still use the same oscillation speed, I'm sure. So if you need something to dig in there and, you know, leapfrog over having to do trial and error and, you know, testing and looking for the frequency to give you something to, you know, I would give those a shot first.
Well, I've got another motive for a reason why I want to do this myself with this particular device is because I can sit there and document every single frequency, the results, what's going on at that time, and then I will have the exact specific frequency for a whole lot of different things. And
I know one of the things is you're wanting to shake loose that electron more easily so it doesn't take as much energy to produce electricity, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's one. Well, you may find that documentation is just sitting in there in that the photon archives, and no one has connected the dots.
Well, I'd like to get a hold of that.
Make that available.
I'd like to get a hold of that and research that up real good because they may have already found the exact numbers that I need. But, you know, if
you find that frequency and it matches up with the frequency, even if it's not the exact same frequency, if you can test two different substances and then correlate the frequency you get versus the photon frequency and see if there's a similarity, then that means you can use those same numbers then to calculate the frequencies for all the other substances we work with.
Well,
think about using that to light LEDs.
I've been doing some
photons in the LED.
I've been doing some research on Schumann resonance. Are you familiar with that?
Not at all.
Which,
really?
Schumann resonance is basically the frequency at which the Earth itself is. 7.83 hertz is what they calculated it down to. And so with that said, there's one key right there, man. You know, and if you could. Rife did it, you know, Raymond Rife. I mean, he could target specific bacteria and kill the bad one and not mess with the good one. And, you know, there's so many potentials that could come up out of that type of research that it'd be mind-boggling. And I know there's folks out there that have done that research. I mean, John Hutchinson, he's done a lot of research with radio frequencies. You know, regardless of what people think about him or you know, especially here lately, he's gotten a little wild, but I think that's more to cover his neck than anything else. Either way, he did a lot of amazing research because he got a hold of some old radio equipment, and he was melting metal and all kinds of stuff with that. Which, I mean,
yeah,
I was...
You know, there are certain areas of the world, like there's a specific place in, it's either in Europe or in Britain, in the UK specifically, that... truffles only grow there, and they can't figure out why they won't grow anywhere else. And I wonder if this, because I'm reading up now, and it says that basically different areas of the world have different frequencies that are emitted, but they're within a certain range you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that area might be specifically generating the frequency necessary for those plants to grow there. I mean, there's others that will only grow on one side of the hemisphere and not the other.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what's thought, because the continent they grow on, they don't only grow there.
You think of the positioning of all the monolithic structures, and when I say monolithic structures, for our listeners, I'm referring to the pyramids and, mm-hmm. Stonehenge and places like that. You know, they're of a very specific alignment around certain ley lines of the Earth. So, yeah, what you're saying rings really true to me, that could be very easily a case, you know, that you know,
high quantities of the right materials in the area,
yeah,
and in the right configurations, because quartz crystals run in configurations through the Earth, all over the Earth. If you look at it, it looks essentially like a biomechanical network for a CPU.
Well, for those folks out there who are kind of lost in what we're saying out there, I'll give two basic examples. One I use all the time is when the opera singer raises the voice up to match a resonancy of a crystal glass, that crystal glass will begin to vibrate until it finally shatters. And there's other things out there that you just can't stand, like, you know, fingers down a chalkboard, the sound, the frequency that comes off of that send chills up your spine. There's so many different ways. You know, I believe that even people, have you ever been around somebody who you know, they're not necessarily a bad person, but for some reason you just can't stand to even hear their voice or be around them. It's as if their residence, their frequency range that they're in is just annoying to you. You know what I'm saying? Some people are just flat out annoying. But
Well, I don't know if that directly applies to the crystal thing. The crystal thing has a very specific and targetable reason for working the way it does, and that's that certain frequencies bounce off of materials, other frequencies will pass through them without affecting them, and some are specifically absorbed and keep getting absorbed. They resonate through it, and it holds onto it for a period of time before releasing it. So you hit the frequency that's necessary for basically the absorption mode. When that opera singer hits that right frequency, the crystal keeps that resonance. It keeps, you know, and kind of, I guess, enjoying it until it eventually breaks down. So I guess enjoy shouldn't be used because they have too many people trying to personify. They try to personify magnetic fields and stuff like that, and then you get them wandering off into crazy land thinking that they can actually reason with it to get it to do things they want it to do.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily what we're talking about, but the frequency range.
Well, no, that's why I said let's steer it back to the absorption.
Yeah.
That's the specific. You can reflect it off it, so you can use frequencies if you don't want something damaged that'll pass through it or bounce off of it.
Yeah.
You can use frequencies that are absorbed by it if you're trying to generate power from it, because the crystal glass, it still has the silicon dioxide in it, which it, when it vibrates, it releases electrons, which means it can be used to generate power. So
yeah,
if you get
that's
the right
what I'm talking about.
You can couple and generate piezoelectric generated power, which is just as good as the power that comes off a battery.
Your average electric motor runs what, about 60 hertz? And so
60 to 50, depending on where you are in the world.
Yeah, okay, so 60 to 50, depending on where you are, 60 to 50 hertz. But here's the thing. Anything above that, then you start destroying your coil, because those electrons are in there beating the heck out of each other because they're pressurizing trying to get down the line, and they just can't go any faster than what they're going. And then it burns up the insulation on your copper wire.
It's got more to do with what's referred to as saturation, where the coil itself can't actually collapse its full magnetic field before it's given another one by the next pulse.
Yeah, but either way, it's
that's not so much the coil as it is the material the coil's wrapped around.
Coil. Yeah.
Square wave. Yeah, Jerry Ellis does Jerry Ellsworth does a good video on that, and how they used to use that saturation point and the collapsing to store data on it.
Yeah, but see, either way, if using this concept of the frequency wave, if you could target specific the electron enough to get that doggone electron to trade places, like I said a million times, it doesn't have to do it fast. You're going to get the same amount of energy, even if it takes a week for that electron to trade places with the other one. You're going to get the same amount of energy released when that transfer occurs as you would if it was instantaneously. The difference being is the slower those electrons are moving around, the less heat you're going to build up in there that will end up destroying your appliances or whatever. But you wouldn't have to put near as much energy in to getting that electron transfer. See, right now we use brute force magnetic field to literally shake them loose, you know. And, you know, the faster you shake them loose, the more pressure builds up behind there, the more heat in that coil and so on and so forth. But imagine just being able to just stimulate those electrons just enough to make that transfer and get the same amount of energy out, what the implications of that would be.
You know, it seems silly, but this conversation just made me realize why a Tesla coil uses an air core.
Cools it down.
Yeah, it doesn't have that saturation point.
Yeah, the core is what saturates. So if you haven't got
a paramagnetic
material. Well, you do, but you know it's the air, and it's able to switch incredibly fast, as opposed to, you know, like a ferrite material.
Most air
or a soft iron.
Most air particles are not paramagnetic; they're actually diamagnetic. So is water.
Okay.
So, But you know what you're talking about there. Here's the solution I would say to get more power out of it, and for you know a higher frequency like you're wanting to do, Shaziz, for an iron core that still you know concentrates the power, so that you can get plenty of energy, plenty of magnetic force for like say a motor, is make you know they use ultra thin layers of steel to stack up, and they get more more potential out of it.
Yeah,
just dip those layers in molten bismuth, because it's a diamagnetic material, so it would assist the demagnetization, so you could go at a higher rate, a higher speed, with less energy to demagnetize and remagnetize the other direction. Plus, it will actually push in and focus the magnetic field that's coming out of the steel on the edges where it's cut and bare, where it doesn't have any bismuth over it. Do the same thing with your Tesla coil, and you should be able literally to still have those high frequency switches without having to sacrifice the concentration ability that you get from the iron.
Well, and another thing that I was talking about this being able to stimulate that electron. If you needed more electron flow, it would be as simple as turning up a volume knob. You're not changing the frequency; you're just changing the how much power you're putting into it, amplification or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you too. If you dip your steel that you're going to put in your core into the rosin flux that they use for soldering for electronic circuits before dipping it into the bismuth, it'll coat it just like solder coats copper when you get the too hot and there's a flux coating the copper.
That sounds like an awesome plan.
Done it before, and it's not soft. It's actually rigid and stiff, so if you need something that's going to hold its shape and you know give it some strength, you got it.
Yeah.
So and another thing, if you redesign that core into the U-shape, I've found out through all my research, because I used to make U-shaped coils out of microwave magnetron cores. I would take and cut them in half, and then I would have enough to make like 8 U-shaped cores using the existing wire that I had. But for some reason, those U-shaped cores, they seem to produce a lot better, and they don't have as much back EMF going on with them. Now, I'm not exactly sure why that is, or whether one of the coils on the core, because I'm talking two separate coils on each core, one of the coils on there, the two fields are coupling with each other, and the magnetic field's being redirected back around in almost a loop fashion, but it works. Coils that I've used, and especially I did that one with I made a little peanut butter lid with some neodymium magnets out of hard drive motors, and that little deal's running off a cordless drill motor. That's put out 120 volts AC. That thing will light you up, man, literally. And so I know the difference between those coils. And I've got, those fish tank air pump coils, they don't put out as much current and all that kind of stuff, but they do put out some serious high voltage. Each one of those fish tank air pump coils, that you know what a fish tank air pump is, but you can buy them at the Walmart or whatever for your fish tank and take the cores out of those things, they'll put out 360 volts AC a piece. So if you had those same windings on a U-shaped core, you should be able to increase that voltage quite substantially. Those things are powerful, man. Mm-hmm. The ones I'm talking about that I initially found came out of a doorbell, an old antique doorbell had a U-shaped coil, a U-shaped core on the coils. Anyway, radio silence.
No, I was just trying to think back. You know how long it's been since we had those in our houses here in Australia.
See, you wanted to see if you had a doorbell you could go disassemble.
No, I'm just trying to remember back to like I don't know when I was a kid and we had one at home when I was growing up. Like, dude, that's you know. I'm trying to think back 20 years. Give me a break. But,
Well, I think I'm going to try to find Thomas's song right there. I downloaded a bunch of songs. Which one of those was your favorite song there, Thomas? Where you at, man? You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know what's happened to Thomas.
You know we're live on the air, right?
He said, be right back. You've got to start paying attention to that chat, she says.
Hey, I had my brain was working on things, man.
Bung on one for me, mate, and then we'll sort him out when he's...
All right, well, we're going to take a quick music break, and which one is your favorite one out of that batch there?
Which one's my favorite one out of that batch?
Yeah.
It would be, they're all my favorites, actually. So just pick one and surprise me, dude.
All right, well, I will... grab that one right there. That looks like a good one. You do 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 do. Boy, this is like cool, huh? All
right. Yeah. Welcome to Radio Science and Shaziz Radio Network. You're listening to Corpus DeGrand and Shaziz.
Yeah, Mad Science. Stay tuned. We're going to take a music break and get some coffee and that kind of jazz. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
shared the laughter and the pain, and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me alone. So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now. There's just an empty space, and you coming back to me is against the odds. That's what I've got to face. Could just make you turn around, turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to say to you, so many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me and I. Take a look at me now. There's just an empty space, nothing left here to remind me, just a memory of your face. Take a look at me now. It's just an empty space. But to wait for you is all I can do, and that's what I've got to face. Take a look at me now. I still be standing here. Yes, we are. It's a chance I've got to take. Take a look at me now. Thank you. just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, bye and bye. I'll fly away.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I would, oh god, yes. Oh, that is gorgeous. Yeah. I need a cup of the brown stuff, the shade of an acorn made warm by the same source that I take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug or fine china, been hooked up to IVs, need constant supplies, and a trip for my urges might verge on perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain, I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey.
Yes please,
Earl Grey.
Yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely Assam.
Lovely
Assam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Around the world in 80 brews to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by angels do. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a bag knitted by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Strong though. Wanna see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of blood.
I'm madder than a hatter and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snorting coffee in a proper cup of coffee. Bottoms got me lobbing teapot to your Ponty rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot snorting off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea or just say I'm mad. Oh, you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour, my hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, love it. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. We're back. I don't even know where to start. I don't think I'd sell my grandma for a cup of coffee, man.
I'd sell my mother for a cup of coffee.
Man.
She doesn't like me. She doesn't like me, dude. Why wouldn't I? Just, yeah, take her. Give me a coffee.
Yeah,
coffee,
okay.
Coffee will appreciate me more.
You don't know my grandma. She'd come back and mop you. Why are all the ladies in my family so violent?
I don't know, man. I don't know. They seem to like just marry into the situation. Like, love you, mama.
Yeah.
But you do.
think it has anything to do with I drive them crazy or something?
Well, do you want me to be overly honest?
No, no, no.
I into myself.
No, we know. It's all good.
I love you, brother, but you know why.
Anyway, So, we were talking about what right before we went to the break there, man? Graphene. We were talking about static motors. Wake up! Man, you guys supposed
to... We were talking about lots of stuff.
Yeah, you guys...
No, it's not a matter of waking up. It's a matter of figuring out where to start, man.
Yeah, you guys were supposed to get your coffee before the show come back on. Oh yeah, I heard you.
You're not supposed to melt brains. I thought that was my job.
Yeah, it is your job. You're slacking, Jack.
You're beating me to it.
All right. Well, anyway,
don't beat me.
I think that the progress.
You didn't do it.
I think that the progress that the alternative energy community has made in the last year or so has just been amazing. I mean, it's just it's skyrocketing. And hopefully we can beat the clock before doomsday and find the holy grail of electricity, which I believe we're right on the precipice of. And, you know, everybody have free electricity. That's my ultimate goal. Hopefully there ain't going to be no doomsday, but with all the knuckleheads in charge up there, it seems like that's the way they're driving the boat or the bus off the cliff. And so maybe somebody ought to run over there real quick and let the air out of the tires of the bus so that they can't drive us off the cliff for a minute. We can get resolved.
I think we're past that point. We're already over the cliff. We just need to hurry up and make us some parachutes.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Don't try the umbrella, man, because scientifically the umbrella is not plausible. It will not slow you down.
Depends how big the umbrella is and how much structural integrity it has.
Man,
we need one made out of graphene.
I tried jumping.
Yes, you fall with your rock, Thomas.
I tried jumping off the picnic.
Hey!
tried jumping off the picnic table with the picnic table umbrella. It didn't slow me down, man. That's all I'm just saying.
And you haven't apparently played around enough with that. I mean, black leather trench coat, tornado winds. You can sail a good long way on those hard winds that come in when you've got tornado season around, man. Well, they all call me crazy, but man, it worked.
years ago when I was younger and didn't have as nearly as much common sense as I do now, I took the drag chute off my Nova. And I was standing on a skateboard in some high winds and flying down the road with my drag chute. And I almost got, like, wiped out, man, because it, like, pulled me off the skateboard. And I had to run really fast to try to catch myself before I face planted in the street. And let go of one side of it.
The internet gold you missed there without videotaping that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it would have been a good one. But that back in them days, the cameras that they had were so bulky anyway, by the time you got one trying to hold one of those up and videotape and then get it transferred over to digital would have been a pain in the neck. I do, however, have some old rock videos with me wearing a hairstyle like the one I did on the Mad Science that one day. And I was playing these guitars. We did this funny rock video. Me and my friend and my little brother, you should see them. They're a hoot. I can't put them on
even older than the nunchuck video?
Oh, yeah, way older than that. Did you get a chance to see old dude Kung Fu?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How'd you like my final solution?
That's Cultus's fault. He brought it up.
How'd you like my final solution to it?
I don't think I got to see that.
You didn't get to the end. Where are you guys? Screw it. I'm just getting a Glock.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, it's less energy, man. Wait, when you get old, you can't jump around like you used to, man. Anyway, back to science. We talked about the science of jumping off the roof with an umbrella. Yeah, and gravity seems to wear you down after a while. But there's another thing there, man. There's a lot of rejuvenating energy involved in the Schumann resonance, from what I understand. I mean, I ain't never tested it or anything, but I can see where, you know, things like it helped generate your melatonin and serotonin, the two important chemicals in your body, and all that kind of stuff. So it's worth looking into. What do you think? Man, you guys are
wild again.
I have no idea. You keep stepping off in those directions where I don't know, you know, I haven't researched any of that stuff.
All right, well, let's go back to something you do know about.
Educators.
I'm tired
of it. Educators.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing the crickets chirping, man. I pose a question and all of a sudden, chirp, chirp, chirp.
Stop posing a question. Educate the audience and us at the same time.
All right, anyway, there is some research out there. You need to go check it out on the Schumann resonance and essentially the resonance of the Earth. You know, when I talked about years ago about, you know, going out and people call it grounding, where you go out, you take your shoes off and you walk around barefoot on the Earth, you know, in the grass, you'll notice that you feel a whole lot better unless you step on a cactus or, you know, something else, dog rocket or something. And you're not feeling
Lego?
Something.
Oh.
Yeah, or a Lego. But either way, if you can get out in some clean...
A lot of kids left playing out there.
Yeah. If you can get out in some clean, refreshing grass, and you can go around, walk around with your bare feet grounded to the earth, you'll notice that you start feeling better for some reason. We're kind of separated between nature and ourselves because we wear, you know, rubber-soled shoes or steel-toed boots or whatever. And so people don't really think about, you know, getting close to nature and stuff like that. But scientifically, it makes sense, you know, with the residency of the Earth coming down there. And, you know, it's just kind of becoming one with nature. I mean, that's really getting out there. But come on, man. Just try it out. See if you feel better. And then you can notice that if you live in a country already, you really don't have to worry about it because you're not necessarily close to all the cell phone towers and magnetic disturbances going on. You notice that the further you get out in the country, away from all the cell phone towers and everything that's going on in the city, then you start to feel a little better. Your attitude changes. Every time me and my wife are heading out to her mom and dad's, who live about a couple hours away from where we do, and keep in mind we don't live in the city. We live out in the country, but it's close to a city, and so there's a lot of frequency ranges going on out here. So anyway, the further we get out closer to her mom and dad's house, the more of a better mood we get into. And then as we're heading back, it seems like the closer we're getting to home, the more tense our mood becomes. So I think there's really something. I think there's really something to all that because, you know, it works every single time. And, you know, your brain working close to the same frequency range that the Earth is working, you know, it seems more natural that if you're not around all these Wi-Fi towers and radio frequencies and all that kind of stuff, that you would feel a lot better. You know, if you think about the body chemistry itself from the time of the industrial age all the way up, we've been polluting our bodies with everything under the sun. I'm looking at your hat in that picture, and I think about the Mad Hatter deal. You know, that phrase, mad as a hatter.
They used to, they used to use mercury while they were making hats, and it soaked through their skin.
Yeah, and after a while, the hat makers would go crazy.
And with most of the crude oil we're pulling out of the ground is it's saturated with these heavy metals and poisons, and then they don't know what to do with them, so they just toss them in the landfill or, you know, dump them in the water, or it gets burned off into the atmosphere and rains down on us.
Yeah. And so with that said...
Not the oil, it's the metals in it that are hurting us the most.
There's stories in the Bible of guys living 500 to 900 years old, man. That's a long time to live. You know,
They believe that the year was a lot shorter back then, but even for a shorter year, I mean, you're still, even if it was half a year, if you lived for 800 years, that's still 400 years old, which is way more, it's more than even four times what our normal lifespan is now.
Yeah. And so there should be something said about the, you know, natural foods, which, you know, they wouldn't have had access to all the crazy chemistry that we got nowadays. And a lot of the foods out there, you know, got brain inhibitors literally in there, you know, fluoride, chlorine, and stuff like that in your water, your toothpaste, or whatever.
We've genetically been modified, too, since before we started really getting serious about all the GMOs and whatnot that everybody's up in arms about now, too, because they've been crossbreeding and breeding out aspects of the food that they were growing and whatnot that don't taste as good as the other stuff that they want. And as a result, they've been bleeding out all the nutrition and whatnot that our body is needing. I mean, even if you don't believe in, you know, if you're an atheist and don't believe in any kind of higher power or anything, you have to admit that being in a specific environment for a very long time, you're going to adapt to that environment. and making a sudden shift to a new environment is not going to be good for your system.
No, and you can,
so, you know, everybody's in it should be in agreement that we need to go back to a little more, natural state when it comes to what we're consuming and what we're around.
Cultists could testify to that fact, because from the U.S. to Australia, when he came over here, he was feeling quite well for a while. And then on the way back down there, I think he said he was down for a couple of weeks. He just wanted to sleep all the time, you know, the difference.
Yeah, I literally did. I got back and I slept for like 3 weeks. And everyone thought I was like on drugs or something. They were all like questioning me what was wrong with me. Just between depression, jet lag, and whatnot. Yeah, no, just I'm going to sleep. Leave me alone. I'm going to be like a dog. There's nothing going on. I'm going to sleep.
But either way, there's a prime example right there. You know, the differences in the two separate environments. So, you know, with that said, there's a whole lot to be said about getting close to nature and about all these frequency ranges that are going around. So who knows, maybe the next great invention will be literally a little device that you can carry on your side. Well, actually, I think they actually got them. I think they have them for sale. There's little portable devices with the Schumann resonance on there. And you're supposed to wear it like on your belt, and it puts like that, that sound frequency around you, and supposedly makes you feel better, whatever. I don't know. I never tested.
Well, that won't eliminate though the pollution that you're getting from in the city. If what you said was true, what you need is basically a combination of like a shielding that is open on around the feet, but closed around like your clothing has, you know, graphene or metal fibers that are conductive running through it, so they'll actually block the RF from your body while still receiving the RF that's coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
So or that generator, you know.
And speaking of that, guess what I found?
Create a microcosm inside your body.
Guess what I found whenever I was digging through all my stuff, moving my lab out. I found an old antique RF generator. I had it,
nice.
And I forgot all about it, and I found it, and now I put it right up front where I can't lose it. I'm going to tinker around with that one. But anyway, there's a lot to be said about that, man. And, you know, science isn't just about... It isn't just about alternative energy. There's a lot of health deals going on there as well, and a lot of potential. I mean, I still say it, and I keep getting frustrated because here we are in the year 2014, and it still feels like we're in the Stone Age, man. Now, granted, our cars have gotten a lot cooler, you know, as far as digital and all that kind of stuff, and heads up displays and. You know, that kind of... I would like to have some of the modern technology in some of the older built cars, like, you know, an old Mustang or Camaro or a 64 Ford Fairlane or something like that, with all digital displays inside of it with the heads up and all that. You know...
Or for us Aussies, he means like, you know, a HT Monaro. Yeah.
And I like the newer Corvettes, so have you seen those? Man, those things...
No, I haven't.
Those things are cool looking. They look like almost like a cross between a Ferrari and a Corvette.
Cool.
Yeah. So if anybody out there knows when OSHA's birthday is, I got some room in my driveway. Yeah. Hook a brother up. Oh, man.
Well, shoot, if they're giving away cards like that, I'm wanting a Vino.
Yeah.
Or a Vino.
So they're not allowed to drop you off an air compressor, but they can drop you off one of those, huh?
I'd even settle for one of them Zero motorcycles, man. Electric motorcycles that are made by the company named Zero. Those things are cool, man.
Oh, I want a Tesla Roadster.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's put our Christmas list up on the site there, and whoever goes out and wins the lottery can hook us all up. We'll do YouTube videos, the unveiling of the Ferrari.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. I do really believe that with everything we do, that Elon Musk should all buy us, or not really buy us, because he'll own them anyway. Elon Musk should give us each a Roadster.
Yeah, that
would... Come on, Elon. You're an awesome bloke, buddy.
Yeah,
we love you, and we love your car.
Yeah, and I like those... Those
guys, come on.
Tesla cars that they've been messing around with too.
That's who I'm talking about. Yeah. That is the CEO of Tesla.
That's what we need.
I was going to say, he's also one of the primary people that started PayPal, so you know where he got his money from.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he sold PayPal off, and that's what he used all that money to start the Tesla Motor Company. So,
okay, clicky in the chat window there, and you'll see what I was talking about the Veneno.
Clicky clicky in the chat room. I'm looking in the radio chat room.
Look in our chat room. You can repost it on the radio deal.
I'm sorry, I can't clicky clicky without crashing the system, so I'll have to look later.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, imagine a Corvette.
Holy Toledo! What in the world is that?
Now imagine that with a Tesla Roadster underneath it.
That is insane, brother.
All electric. That is
absolutely
like that.
Insane. Who
would drive a Lamborghini? I would. All day long, man.
I would be able to get
that thing. I'll sleep in that thing.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Where are you going to sleep, Thomas?
I'll tell you what, guys.
I don't care.
Hey, I may get mocked and ridiculed for this, and maybe even slapped around or even threatened with bodily harm of some sort.
Come on.
But, I want a DeLorean.
No, you're not going to get insulted for that. We all want a DeLorean so long as it comes with a flux capacitor.
Yeah.
Come on, let's be serious about it. Who does not want a time machine from back to the future?
I tell you what, I'll put my own flux capacitor in and just get me a DeLorean and 10 of those doggone stator motors and I'll fire that puppy up. One way or another.
You wouldn't be known as just this anymore. You roll up in that, you'd be forever called Doc Brown.
Yeah, somebody called me Doc Brown here recently. Who in the heck was that? Because my hair looked just like Doc Brown.
was that a Ryan last week?
Probably. Man. All right, well, I could be called worse. I like Doc Brown. He's cool.
Yeah, man. Hey, I always say to everyone, you call me whatever you like. And seriously, call me whatever you like. I don't care. Just don't call me late for breakfast.
Yeah, don't call me Collect, man. And stay off my grass. We need to make an old man, a cranky old man's rule book to life.
Stay off my lawn.
Yeah, that'd be number one. Number one rule, stay off my lawn.
Stay off my lawn, sonny.
Yeah, wait till I'm like 90 years old and I'm setting up my rocking chair and I got a shaky hand on my trigger finger on my dual double barrel shotgun, you know. People come over to visit. Oh, that's funny. All right, so Robert Murray Smith's doing some amazing technology in the paint on antenna stuff and. Who else is doing a lot of good work?
Well, we have Jeremy working on the Atmo motor. We have Struth. Trying to think off the top of my head real fast now. What have we got going on?
You should hit up the Chem Life and other chemistry experimenters that are on YouTube too, because they've got lots of good information that will lead toward the research that you guys are out there doing. So,
well, I want to build the most powerful high voltage motor in the history of time, and I see that we have every single piece of the puzzle, including the paint on conductive material, would be a benefit to that specific device. I'm sitting here spitting while I'm talking. That's like antisocial.
No one would have known that.
Well, I had
not said it.
Yeah, I had to say it. And now I got a little glow.
Mr. Home Scientist. There's another one. Nerd Rage.
Yeah, UC I got
235.
I'm subscribed to Nerd Rage. He's got a lot of good videos out there.
Yeah. Nerd Rage is good with these videos, but I've never been able to get a hold of him to ask him any clarifications.
Anyway, I finally got to talk to Ryan's friend, Terry. I need to get to talk to him again.
We've had Terry on the show. We've had him on the Nights before.
Well, I every time
we've had him on Mad Science.
Every time that I'm I'm trying to talk to him about a specific video that he's done, because he's done some pretty cool static motors, Corona motors, and stuff like that. And he did one with the magnetic bearing on there. Ryan did a really nice magnetic bearing. Oh, and there's also a video out there. I have to go back through my doggone history list, but there's a video out there where this guy took a ring of brass. He drilled holes all the way around this ring of brass and put in these doggone little neodymium magnets, and in the center of it put a larger neodymium magnet in there. And you can watch as he pushes this thing towards a neodymium magnet, and it will literally lock in a certain place away from the magnet. But it won't, and when he pulls it back, it'll bring it back with it. So literally, he's got the perfect magnet bearing, because unlike the one that that Ryan's done there, that everybody else is doing, this specific one, you wouldn't have to have the thing in the front to keep it from going forward or back, because it literally locks into that field right. There's probably about maybe a quarter inch away from this thing. It'll lock in right there, and you can move it back and forth. This thing's incredible, man. And he did it with brass. He did it with brass and neodymium magnets. I'll after the show, and after Beverly's show, when I get to uploading the podcast, I'll look through my history on there. Or you could jump over to my Google Plus and look back through some of the ones that shows liked videos or whatever, and you'll find it. But basically, he took a piece of brass and drilled holes in it and put the magnets in there, and one magnet in the center, and it literally builds like a tractor beam for magnets. And that would be a perfect magnetic bearing, because as it's locked in there, it would definitely be frictionless. It's not going to go anywhere. So there's another piece of the puzzle there that would be great. You know, the static motor, the biggest problem that I've seen in all the static motors is that, they don't, some of them you had to actually get started with your own finger, because there's just...
Yeah, but that's just bearings.
Yeah,
right?
Because of the bearings. But with the magnetic bearing like that in there, you wouldn't even have to start it that way. You know, it'd be self-starting every time. So
yeah, that's what I was, when Jeremy asked me there a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember if he asked me specifically or just asked the general forum, but he was asking basically, sort of what would be the best bearing, and I just said, magnetic bearing, and then on top of that, if you really want to go crazy, put it all in a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly.
And you haven't even got air being a drag on the system. It's just...
Well, what I'd like
so
to see
be ridiculous.
Is the combination of the static motor, the Wimshurst, the Van de Graaff, and plasma all together, put argon inside of a vacuum with this drive unit inside the vacuum itself, and using another technology that this other guy's got going on out there. He's got a pulse motor that is not directly connected. It's magnetically coupled with a flywheel that has a lot of torque to it, and so you could seal up the actual drive unit and have it magnetically coupled with a flywheel on the opposite side of the chamber, that it would still have the torque needed to do something. So you could have it perfect. You could have a perfectly sealed vacuum with a magnetically coupled flywheel on the opposite side for your drive. Pretty amazing stuff, man. Telling you, if we could get the right crew in the right place and with the right materials, there's no way that we couldn't come up out of there in less than a month's time with the most powerful generator in the history of time, man. This thing would be incredible. And with the right frequencies stimulating the energy flow to begin with, we could run this thing on the most minuscule amount of electricity that we could probably grab right out of the air, man, using that battery technology like Robert Murray Smith is doing. What do you guys think?
That clutch or that magnetic coupler, I think, is probably... Because, you know, when you said about putting... when Cultus was talking about putting the Atmo motor inside of a vacuum,
yeah.
My first thought was, you know, you're going to have wear and tear on the bearings running that... Because the bearing's got to be sealed, too, then. So it's got to be connected together. But if you put it entirely inside of it on magnetic bearings and put magnets on the motor itself so they can couple with a flywheel on the outside to spin a generator...
Yeah.
Then you can drag that power out of there without actually having to create any excess drag inside the system that you're not getting anything out of.
Yeah.
All the drag on the motor is you're getting something out of it. You're getting energy out of it. So
that's what I'm saying, man. And
although there's nothing to stop you from putting the wires coming out of like a system that's, you know, put your generator inside the vacuum too.
Yeah.
So direct drive it then that way all the way inside that system.
And then you could seal it up, you know, run your wires and all your connectors out the, like if it's a glass wall that you're using so you can see what's going on inside, you could seal it up on the way out, you know. It doesn't have to be a glass wall, but I kind of want one built that way so that I can actually, you know, visually see and show what's going on inside this thing. Because...
Well, that's why I said when I was building my... permanent magnet motor that I literally used all Lexan and acrylic for everything that would normally just, you know, it didn't have to be metal, that it could actually be made of something like wood or you know, plastic or anything like that, so that while it's being help me out here, Cultus, vetted, is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
When it's being vetted online, people can literally see all down inside of that and all around that to know that there's no flammery going on.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of that out there, you know.
No hidden batteries.
A lot of you know. So,
man, one thing to get Cootie fired up every time is a fraudster.
But if...
But provide, you know, like I said, the YouTube video is just to get interest. You still have to do the live feed where people can ask questions, move the camera around, ask for things like they can sit and watch for the 2 or 3 hours it takes to disassemble and reassemble it. They can see everything involved and know that there's, you know, no hidden wires, no, you know, coils, no batteries or anything like that. There's no galvanic response going on somewhere that, you know, because of two dissimilar metals, like a metal casing or something, none of this stuff hidden there. So, you know, that way it's vetted fully. Everyone that was sitting there watching now knows that it's legitimate and they can forward on from there, you know.
Yep.
So.
On the, I really seriously started taking a second look at static motors whenever Cultus got interested in it, because Cultus doesn't muck around when it comes to, you know, research. If he ain't got no faith in it, he's not going to look into it. And he also told me about what they were doing over there at the Atmospheric Research Group. And when I looked into that, I mean, you're talking about some really impressive power that they're pulling down out of the air. You know, I knew about them doing, you know, like the helicopters with the static and stuff like that, but I never really looked into it any further because... You know, it's stretching a wire clear up there that high, you know, with a helicopter or whatever. You got to keep it up there or, you know, even using helium balloons or whatever. But these guys took a couple 100-foot poles and put them up there with some graphene-coated wire across there. And they're pulling out 2,000 volts out of the air. That's impressive.
Well, that's why I keep coming back to Robert Murray Smith's video about he's using his... It's like a stacked cells for the swag generator, so it's just basically sheets coated in graphene paint and then stacked together and linked together in series.
Well,
and he held that up over his head, and immediately, just from sitting him on the table versus being in the air, doubled the voltage it was pulling.
Right now, he could literally prove free energy without a shadow of a doubt. He's got the technology right now, even if it was on a small scale, man. Because there's a lot of radio frequencies running around, and I seen the TV antenna deal that he did, and he was getting awesome reception out of, you know, a piece of coated paper that he drew a design on there.
That antenna.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And so...
Well, and you're getting all kinds of radio frequencies from the solar winds bouncing off our ionosphere, so you don't even have to worry about, you know, being close enough to some sort of power output on the ground. That's essentially all the RF that we're putting in the air comes from oil. They're burning oil to turn generators to generate electricity that's then ran through all those wires, and you know, the RF that's coming off the wires, and then it goes into electronic circuits so they can send out RF signals for, you know, the specific modulation, so they can send out information. And the byproduct being, of course, all that extra energy that's vibrating in the air from it being passed through the air. But we have tons of it that's been, you know, been coming for generations.
Yep.
When I say generations, I mean generations of planets, because the Earth is drifting away from the Sun. Venus one day will be where the Earth is now, and Mars was where the Earth is now, and the Sun's been doing this all this time, so it's not going to stop anytime within the cycle of, you know, human existence.
Well,
we're never going to run out of that power.
Hopefully it doesn't do it this week, because I kind of like to get some things done.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, though. Everybody talks about the Sun not being renewable because, you know, it's squeezing hydrogen, and when it runs out, it runs out. But we're talking about an energy source that's not going to run out for 3 billion years.
Yeah, well, not to mention the fact that...
How long of an energy source do you really need, people? Come on, man.
Not to mention the fact that sun-diving comets throw more fuel on the fire.
So, well, the Sun is gaining hydrogen all the time from space. There's even in like super deep space where it's the thinnest and the closest to a perfect vacuum, there's still 1 to 2 atoms of hydrogen per every cubic foot. And the Sun's a giant, it's a massive gravity well. So it's sucking in any material that comes and gets within its sphere. And if it's hydrogen, which most of it is, boom, you know, it's now fuel.
Yep. And there you go, man. There's energy coming from space. It's been constant. I keep saying, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Because, like I said, when's the last time you got a bill from the sun or the wind or the rain or anything, of the earth for that matter?
Hey, let's look at materials too, though. Everything that you hold and have in your house that you can touch or work with, the universe made that, and the universe didn't send us a bill for that.
That's right. You know what? Believe it or not, your coffee cup's putting energy out. You know, anything that has a proton, neutron, electron, like a little micro mini universes. And when I say that, you know, you don't realize how many atoms are actually in one coffee mug. There's quite a bit.
Exactly.
And so every single thing
we pay for things for two simple reasons. The first and foremost is lack of knowledge through ignorance, because we don't know how to do it ourselves. The second is laziness, or, you know, lack of time to do all the stuff that needs to be done so that we can do it ourselves. So that's why the networking is so essential when it comes to research. The same things apply. Not everyone can do everything necessary for all the stuff that needs to be done, but everybody can pick up a handful of that work and do what they can and add it to the pile, and we'll get to where we need to get within a very short time.
Yeah.
Once you get organized and moving in one direction as a group, it's over. You know, I mean, the wind blowing around outside right now, very docile, does next to nothing. Well, when you get it organized, what happens when you get a hurricane or a tornado that comes through?
Yeah, grab out
a lot of work. A lot of work gets done. It might not be the work you want being done, but it gets done.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between us working alone and us getting together in even a group of 10 people on the same project.
Well, that's what I said. I wish that we could get all of these researchers together in one lab for 30 days with all the materials and everything that we needed, because I know it. I know it without beyond a shadow of a doubt that within 30 days' time, we'll come out of there with the baddest generator in the history of time, man. This static...
And there's no point in stopping at that, man. If we get that far, let's just keep it rolling and keep the discoveries and, you know, the benefits coming off of that.
Well, I'm in agreement.
My idea that might, I mean, it might sound a little crazy, but I think we could get a lot of attention and help from the sci-fi geek community, is we deck our place out so that the interior looks like one of the really cool sets from, you know, some sci-fi show, and do a reality TV show where they can actually get to see all the stuff we're doing, because we're open sourcing it.
Well,
just
I want the USS Enterprise to be our lab, man. Wouldn't that be cool?
which one?
The newest one, the next generation one.
See, that, to be honest, I don't like that one. The one I like is the one from Enterprise, the, you know, Star Trek Enterprise, the predecessor. Have you guys seen that with Captain Archer?
No, I ain't seen it.
It's just slightly more industrial, but it's still really spacey feeling. And, of course, their technology is way beyond what they had in either of those two shows because they're basing it on technology we have. We had when the show was made, which they didn't have yet for, you know, Next Generation or the original series. Like, they're walking around with PDAs that basically are their, you know, their tricorders and whatnot. Full screen, you know, not a tiny little TV screen. Not just a painted screen. It's, you know, a legitimate screen. So, but they took it back a notch. I like Destiny too. Anyone who's familiar with Stargate Universe,
yeah, that was
that
cool.
Kind of dystopian yet still really advanced feeling, you know, atmosphere inside the ship. Great stuff, you know. And I mean, if we've got a full facility, who's to say we have to use one particular brand of you know design? We can deck every area out differently. You know.
Well, I like the way you think, brother.
Well, let's get on it then. Let's put a fundraiser together and start putting funding toward that. You know,
what are we doing?
People want to see this happen. It'll be like watching you know a sci-fi movie, but the stuff that's going on is legitimate. It's real.
What are we going to name it? We're going to have to name this fundraiser something that'll get people's attention, like Project Get Your Act Together, man.
don't we just need some Tesla coils in the background shooting off some sparks and get someone to make a really cool video?
You had one wrong word in there, the word some.
Oh,
I think we need to switch that to a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, they used those, what were the discs called that they had in the Borg ships? For the decoration, they had the little lightning bolts running around inside of them. They're basically like the little plasma
totally
orb.
Totally asking the wrong person, just saying.
It was a flat disc. They make clocks with them, too. They literally have the hands moving around so that it directs the lightning bolt inside of it.
Cool.
Oh, okay, cool. All I want.
You sell them. They already sell them. Go to whatever it is, you know? So I'll find you a link, so you know what you're looking for.
Find me a link.
You'll have to find it there, so you're not paying a fortune to ship it.
I want a bunch of them.
I know they got them over there, too. What's that?
I said, find me a link, because I want a bunch of them. I'll put them everywhere in my mad science lab.
They're fun stuff, and they're just, you know, it's just a flat disc with some plasma in between two layers of glass.
Cool.
So... It's stuff we could build too. I mean, we can make our own custom stuff and whatnot too. But you know, we can focus on more, you know, getting stuff to basically deck the place out. I mean, I'm down for, you know, building and designing the interior structure. I've got the skills and, you know, the experience with building structures and whatnot. So building, you know, movie sets, and I tend to go a little overboard when I build movie sets so they'll actually last. That way, you know, you want to do a series. You don't have to worry about somebody bumping into it and breaking it because it's made out of styrofoam.
Yeah, so. whenever somebody leans up against the wall and falls through.
Well, for, you know, a high voltage and an RF lab, the copper nanoparticle material, since now we know we can make it so easily, would be the prime substance to paint everything with that and then center it. And that'll kind of give it that... you know, sci-fi slash steampunk feel to it, but it'll be the shielding we need to keep it from interfering with other guys, you know, experiments they're doing in the other room or whatever. So.
Be lots of Faraday caging.
Either way, it's...
Yep.
It's
but that's the thing. You take Faraday caging to a point where you can just spray it on.
Yeah.
Just spray
exactly,
it on.
Yeah.
It's caged. Let's go. Yep.
Either way, I'm
hey, hit. Hey, graphene spray paint, dude.
Yep.
There you go.
Spray paint, copper nanoparticle spray paint. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
job done, mate. Ain't nothing making it through that little bit of gauze.
And we're going to need to make that stuff for our research too. So
yep.
We just make excess to, you know, deck the place out while we're getting everything together. So we're ready to go. The second the place is put together and ready for everybody to move in, and the paint fumes have wafted off, we just walk right in, kick on the you know the live feed, and let everybody watch what we're doing. You know, get to it.
Man,
and
I
cycle
love it.
In and out, like do you know what do you call them contests where people basically enter to you know to get sent and you know be you know a guest on it, get to work on some of their experiments as well as be you know a little bit of a celebrity for a while. That's what they want, you know.
Well, this thing would fund itself once it got started. That's for that's a fact there. Now, whether or not the men in black would keep kicking down our door once a week because we keep building stuff.
that would be a thing that would be a moot point, though, because, you know, the same reason why people have been saying don't patent things, just release it open source on the web so it can't, once the genie's out of the bottle, it can't be put back in.
Yep.
If they come and kick our doors in, then everybody would know something was up, and then they'd be even more curious. The last thing they want is curiosity on something that they don't want people, they just don't want them to think about it at all, or they want to think negatively of it, and this brings a positive light to it. Because they've already got a negative feel toward those people who keep kicking doors in and hiding stuff, you know?
Well, we all set up a security system, so as soon as that boot hits the door, we'll light them up, man.
You don't want to be the negative guy. You want to make sure you're on taking the high road on everything.
Hey, my version.
You have it set up so as soon as a boot is on the door, there's a pot of coffee and a kettle of tea that's going off, so you can invite them in and show them around. You know,
an automatic.
Oh, by the way, everybody in the world is watching you right now, so you know.
Yeah, and an automatic arm.
Say hi.
An automatic arm comes out with a donut. Here you go, brother.
Oh! I can already see you running away from the officers. I told you, leave me alone. I don't have any dang donuts. Well, get off my grass.
Part of our deal is we'll make a donut launcher for self-protection. Okay, that wasn't very nice. Anyway.
Well, that's for all the naughty. We know there are good guys out there than good gals that are on those force doing it because, you know, they really believe in what they're doing. So,
well, hopefully they'll lead by example and a lot of other folks will follow behind and we'll make our world a better place. Either way, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show.
That idea will not just fund itself. I can guarantee you it'll end up giving enough excess funds that we can send out as seeds to start other labs elsewhere and get them online and get them decked out to look cool and, you know, the mood. I mean, it would feel much better being in that type of environment. You'd be in a scientifically investigative and inquisitive mood when you walk into that almost instantly. I mean, it'd be almost impossible to be depressed and feel down walking in there and feeling that, you know, that ambience that comes from an environment like that.
Well, so, I love it. I love it.
Okay,
Tom.
I'll let you shut her down.
All right, well, we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. Hope we put some good information out there for you guys with a podcast to be up here soon. And stay tuned for the Beverly's Hope Show coming up next and the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Join us on the Knights of the Round Table so that you can have a voice there as well. We talk about all kinds of stuff on there. So before we roll up out of here, you guys want to pass out some information, projects you're working on, or YouTubes, or anything like that?
You got this, Thomas, and I'll take it.
I'm going to say right now, I suggest that you, Cultus, Shaziz, and anybody else that's part of our circle that's already connected, and anybody who wants to join in, you've got that link to join you on Skype. That people out there can connect with you.
Let's start the round table room.
Well, I was gonna say let's you know start brainstorming for that idea and you know have them basically a link at some point within the next week or two for our ideas and whatnot. You know, and they can come on in and you know find out about where to go to find out more about the idea of basically setting up the lab.
We need to put a page on here. We could actually probably link it to the Virtual Labs page because that's eventually where Virtual Labs is going to be. But we could put a page up specifically for posting information for the plan. You know, once more information comes in, we can get it all together. You know, ideas,
CGI,
suggestions.
I'll put some CGI renderings for ideas of the set designs and whatnot for the home or the you know the laboratory, like if it's a garage or whatever we're using. You know.
Cool.
So that way people can get an idea of just you know what kind of imagination will go into it and what you know they can expect to see whenever it's on you know on their screen they're watching it. So
yeah, sounds great you know, to me. Well, we're down to the wire there. Throw out your information there, Cultus, so we can change this over.
Well, all right, boys and girls, you can come and follow me during the week at cultus.weebly.com. That's KULTUS. www.ebly.com, and on there you will find links to everything, all of our radio stations, our sister networks. You will find all of our YouTube channels on there. You will find all of our current research on there, or most of our current research. I'm trying to entice the boys all to put it on the page, and they are doing in bits and pieces as we go along. And you'll find much more on that page as well. And other than that, that's sort of a one-stop link, really. So I'll leave it there, Shaziz. Really?
All right. Well,
and I'll get you the Box of Watts page that has the already beginning write-up on all the different research areas and you know types of setups that would be available for a research facility.
And
so everything from energy to agriculture, you know.
Yep. Yeah, and just one other side note, Steve, I just saw your link, brother. We will look into this, and we will talk about this tomorrow night, I think, buddy. So I'll share this with the boys now, and they'll have a look after the show, and we'll have a look at this. And this article, Thomas, is entitled "Could Hemp Nano Sheets Topple Graphene for Making the Ideal Superconductor?"
Cool.
Yep, I've given you that information already once before.
Have you?
We definitely have
too many walls of text, dude.
Alright, well,
need to have a strong conversation about that, though. So.
This is all fascinating for tomorrow's show. Yep. So with that said, everybody stay tuned for the Hope Show. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Move it out of my face.
21 gigawatts!
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.